back to the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Past hour number one, back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll get back to the calls in just a few minutes because I've got a very, very special guest. I love this man. I've known him for years. He's just a wonderful, wonderful coach, great leader, one of the greatest, greatest coaches to have ever blessed collegiate sports, as far as I'm concerned. A true icon in college basketball, a Hall of Fame who's built the powerhouse at Michigan State and led the Spartans to a national championship and countless deep march runs. He's one of the winningest coaches in the history of basketball, the one and only Tom Izzo right here. What's going on, Coach? How are you, man? How's everything? Long time.
Stephen A., I wish my wife felt that good about me and all those good things you said. She doesn't think any of those things.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. Coach, first of all, it's great to see you, buddy. How have you been? And how are you feeling about where your team is at right now, particularly getting to the Sweet 16 after having just beaten Louisville?
You know, I think we've been playing pretty good. You know, we had a little struggle at the end of the year. I didn't think we were as good defensively. Lost a couple games. Played some good games, though. You know, Michigan's really good. Beat a good Purdue team on the road. So I think we're making some progress. We still turn the ball over a little too much. We're not maybe blessed with the talent that I've had some years, but we are a connected group, and that connected group has been fun to coach the last 2 years. And hopefully, you know, Danny's team is really good. They're experienced, and he's such a good coach. So it ought to be a hell of a game. In fact, the whole region, the East region with, you know, Duke and, of course,
yeah,
you know, one of your teams from New York, you know, Patino's getting it done there. He's done an unbelievable job, too.
How did you feel, Coach, when you know, as you're sitting there and you're waiting for the seedings in the NCAA tournament, and you see that you're in the same bracket as Rick Pitino, as Dan Hurley, as John Shire, and these guys, and Bill Self, let's not forget him. How did you feel when you first saw which bracket you're in?
Sick. Felt sick. No, I mean, you know, I said, Stephen A., I've been a 2 seed and got beat by a 15 before. I've been a 1 seed and been out in the second game, and I've been a 7 seed and made it to a Final Four. So, you know, I just enjoy the competition. They're all good guys. I'm really impressed with the job John Shire has done. This isn't your typical, you know, 5 or 6 pro Duke team, and he's done a hell of a job. And what Rick has done, and that was a great game yesterday. And Danny and I are good friends, so that's the only problem. I'm friends with these guys. I'd rather be enemies.
You know, Coach, the reason I asked that question is because on so many occasions, like, for example, I remember I was on TV with Mad Dog Russo, and we were lamenting how we thought St. John's got screwed because they win the Big East Championship. They beat UConn twice, who's a number 2 seed. They end up being a 5th seed, and as a result, having to go through the likes of Kansas, and now you got to face Duke. And if they do that, they're going to have to face the winner of you and UConn. We know the deeper you get, the stiffer the competition is going to be. But as pundits, we're paying attention to seedings and things of that nature and putting so much stock into a team getting screwed over or not. I guess I was asking, when you consider what you guys have accomplished this year, you're 27-7 after being 30-7 last year. Do you have that mindset at all, even though you're happy to be in the tournament? We should have been treated better. Or is that just about pundits and commentators making those arguments?
You know, honestly, I thought, you know, we could have been a 2 seed until Purdue won the Big Ten tournament. Mm-hmm. And I think they deserve to, even though we beat them. I mean, Purdue is one of the best teams in the country. They were picked that way early. They went through a little slump of their own, like all these teams have gone through. Even Danny at UConn gone through a tough time. Rick Early went through a tough time. Duke, I don't think, ever goes through a tough time. And that's a tribute to them. But so I wasn't disappointed. You know, I guess if I would have been a 4 seed instead of a 3, you know, you get caught with having to play the 1. But you look at our region, we got the 1, 2, 3, and 5 seeded teams, and everybody knows Rick could have been a 3 or 4 for sure with the way he came on at the end. So I don't really worry about it. I leave that to you guys. I got enough problems figuring out how to guard Reed now that he's averaging 5.5 offensive rebounds a game
right
in the last month.
We're talking to the great Tom Izzo, head coach for the Michigan State Spartans, right here with Stephen A., SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Scheduled to go up against UConn this weekend, no doubt about it, Friday, 9:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Jeremy Fears, this guy, I mean, didn't have a great game shooting the basketball yesterday, 3-13 from the field, but nevertheless, him and Carr and others ultimately stepped up and got it done for you. Talk to me about your team and how you walked into this season, feeling about them compared to what you had available to you last year when you went 30-7 and reached the regional final.
Well, we lost a couple of guys. You know, Trey Holloman transferred out to North Carolina State, and of course we lost Jace Richardson to the NBA. And Jace, by the end of the year, was really playing well. You know, it would have been great to have him back, but I was happy. He was a first round pick. I'm happy as hell for him. You know, I got to coach his dad and him. What a privilege that is. But, I was a little skeptical on how good we could be. I really was. And Jeremy was one of the reasons, you know, was he going to take that monster jump? Because he had got injured that first year, so he didn't have much of a summer the year before. And he really took a big jump. He didn't shoot it as well the other day, but he's passing the ball well. He's running my team. He's shooting the ball a lot better than he was shooting it. So I think all in all, he's been improved. Our two bigs inside, Kohler and Jackson Kohler and Carson Cooper, right, have really done a great job for us. And then Cohen Carr is starting to come on. You'd love him. He's a great kid, but he can jump right out of the earth. And now he's starting to put his athletic skill with his basketball skill. Mm. I think he's going to be a player that's really going to come on here, hopefully in the weeks to come or next year.
21-10 for our Carr against Louisville, no doubt about. They put on the show. Let me ask you this: when you're going up against UConn, what's it like coaching against a Dan Hurley team? What do you have to prepare for?
Well, I was more interested in the game last night. You know, with Mick Cronin and Dan Hurley, I said, "Who in the hell would want to officiate that game?" That's got to be, you know. But I guess it won't be much different with Danny and I, except we're good friends and. A lot of respect for Dan, his dad. I mean, he's come from an incredible basketball family. But Danny is toughness is the biggest thing. You know, I've always believed, Stephen A., toughest teams usually win in tournament time. Mm. You got to be skilled. You got to make plays. But if you got that grit toughness or that physical toughness, both mental and physical, that gets you through at the end. So Danny's teams are always physically and mentally tough. And they got to be to play for him. And that's a compliment, not an insult.
You know, Coach Izzo, I'm interested in knowing this from you. You know, when you talk about toughness, I mean, you're old school. You've been around for quite a while. And as the game has changed and what have you, people look at you and you're still around, still winning, still having an impact, et cetera. Talk to me about your definition of toughness and how it is now compared to when you talked about toughness a decade ago or longer. Is it all the same, or has the definition changed to some degree because of the times that we're living in, the way the game is officiated, the way the guys choose to want to play the game, the NIL, the transfer portals, how that's affected so many different things? Talk to me about toughness for a second and what you think defines what that is in this day and age.
Well, I think we've always had some toughness here. It started with Mateen Cleaves. He was awesome, and he kind of set the standard that I try to live by every day. But I think toughness is, it's not the physical beating that you can do in football. That's why I like football so much, that you can physically go and be tough. But I think toughness is, how do you handle adversity? Because within a game, there's going to be so much adversity. Not only do you get knocked down, but how do you handle a tough foul, or how do you handle things? And that kind of toughness, I think, is special. Then when you play a team like UConn, which, you know, every minute they're going to physically come at you. You know that they're mentally tough. I just think you got to be able to rise to that level. And you're right. We're in an entitlement age right now. And entitlement and toughness don't usually go together. That's why I think Danny and I are still playing, because I think we expect that in every practice. It's part of the DNA here. It's part of the culture. And culture and accountability is still really important to some of us. And two of us are going to collide on Friday night.
What's helped you get away with staying the way that you are and still being able to get big-time players to want to come to your program and succeed? Is it you? Is it the Mateen Cleaves, the Draymond Greens of the world, and others that have been through your program that helped that helped convince others about the culture that exists at Michigan State and how beneficial that's going to be for them down the road. How does all of that play into Michigan State continuing to be the staple that it is?
Oh, that's the million-dollar question, I think, and you're right on the money, you know. And even though Magic was here before me, he's kind of embraced what I believe, too. He's taught me what Pat Riley, what it was like practicing for him or not even be able to shake hands with your opponent, you know. If you think about it, Pat Riley did that many, many years ago. Then there's the great John Thompson, you know. I think if you look at Nick Saban, a good friend of mine who we started here together, you know, you look at the greatest program that sustained things. You got to have some discipline and accountability. And so those guys, you're right, sell it to our new guys. And that's why if your culture is good, your seniors sell it to the freshmen. They sell it to the recruits, the Cleaveses, the Steve Smiths, the Draymonds, the people that played here before. That's who we really play for here. And those guys, I think, help me too. You know, when it's football weekend and a big recruiting thing and they're all back, they get to talk to recruits now. It's finally legal. So I wouldn't say it's me. I would say it's the culture that we all built and one that I'm really proud of, excited about, and make players realize you're playing for the people that built the place. Each time you win a championship or do something, you get to put your own block in here in this building, but not until then.
Coach Tom Izzo from Michigan State right here with Stephen A. You know, when we look when we look at you now and we see this, we've seen Roy Williams walk away. We've seen Mike Krzyzewski walk away. You saw your guy, Nick Saban, in college football walk away. Why is Tom Izzo still around?
Stupidity, I guess. I don't know. You know, I really think I'm too stubborn to give into it. You know, I don't like what's going on. I've talked to you about it. Yeah. I don't think it's right for the kids, and everybody better understand what I'm saying. Right. I think in the long run, these kids are going to lose out. In the long run, it could be 4 or 5 years, because you know you're so good at what you do. You know, like a little over 1% of the football and basketball players that play in college are ever going to get a pro opportunity.
Right.
So what are these kids going to do when they've been to 4 different schools, have no place to come back to? What are they going to do when they're used to making big money and now they got to go make regular money? I mean, I think we're in for a disaster later on, but I'm going to keep trying to do it the best I can do the way I do it, keep selling what I believe is right. And I don't think it's old school, Stephen A. I think it's the right school. Mm. I think it hasn't changed, you know. Successful people do the right things for hundreds of years. You do it in your job. I try to do it in my job. We have to influence young guys that get influenced by so many distractions that it's hard on them. So I'm hanging in there because I still love my job. I can't say I respect my profession like I used to, but hopefully I can be part of the change.
Which side are you a proponent of? Because we saw folks ascend upon Capitol Hill where President Trump hosted Nick Saban along with a bunch of folks involved in college sports and beyond. Are you a proponent of government involvement and intervention when it comes to NIL, transfer portal, and all of this other stuff going on in college sports? Or do you believe it's a simple resolution with collective bargaining that ultimately would get things steered back in the right direction? Which side are you on in that regard?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about it going to the government. You know, I don't know enough about it. I got enough problems of my own, but right. I'm just looking at it. You know, sometimes as things move up the ladder, people making decisions are never down in the basement with us. And I'm one of those guys, I'm in the basement, you know? I mean, I know what goes on. Our boots are on the ground. And I think when we're dealing with human beings, you need your boots on the ground. You need to see what these kids are going through. You need to see how some money helps them. I'm all for that. The transfer portal, you know what? Anytime the going gets tough, get the hell out of Dodge. I'm not really for that, you know? I think there's a time you got to transfer, but I think there's also you should be able to fight through something like you've had to do and I've had to do. But I don't know if government is the right way to go. I just think that we better do a better job. I remember John Thompson when he was talking about Prop 42 and he walked off the court.
Yeah.
I thought that was impressive because he believed in something I don't think us coaches are sticking together enough on this whole deal. I think we got to figure out what's best for these kids that we coach and stick together a little bit more. And if we could do that, I think we'd come up with some decent solutions. And that's what I'd like to be a part of.
The great Tom Izzo, head coach for the Michigan State Spartans, right here with Stephen A. Just a couple more questions before I let you go, Coach. Obviously, when anybody thinks about you guys these days, they think about Michigan. Because you guys going up against Michigan and, you know, so much was made about, you know what, storming off the court and these guys don't get along or whatever. Does Izzo get a coach, get along with Coach Dusty May or whatever? And you weren't having any of it. You're like, please, I care less. We're trying to beat them, et cetera, et cetera. What's going on with Michigan State and Michigan these days? And is it something new or has it always been this way, Coach?
Well, let me answer it this way, Stephen A. You know, when you were in high school, did you ever have a girlfriend?
Yes, I did.
Did one of your buddies ever steal your girlfriend? Did you like that guy?
No.
Everybody thinks we're supposed to get along like brothers, and this is a rivalry. I mean, I have great respect for Michigan. I really do. You know, we had an incident that happened, you know, last year and a little bit this year. I mean, Dusty and I have talked about it. Do I like my rival? Hell no. I don't like my wife's old boyfriend. No, it's just the way it is. But do I respect them? Hell yes. Will I be pulling for them? Yes, I will. This is the Big Ten Conference. We got six teams in. I'm so excited about that. Our football part of it has really grown. We're winning national championships. So it's never going to be like John Beilein and I used to talk about. It's Duke and Carolina. We were getting it to that point. It's not there yet, but we were building to that. And that means that there's great respect. Both teams are good. And yet, are you supposed to love your rival? I don't think so.
Tom Izzo, before I let you get on out of here, what's it going to take for you to win the national championship this year?
Wow. I mean, as you know, the road is pretty wicked. But what I think it'll take is this connective group that I've got, I think matters. I think it matters to be connected. You know, you got to have talent, too. And maybe we're a little low on that compared to some of the teams I've had. But the connectivity, can we defend and rebound like we've been most of the year? That usually wins in tournament time. But we got to beat a hell of a team Friday night who has gone through a very similar point, yet they've got some experienced guys that have been there. And if we get by them, boy, I don't know who's going to win that next game. And if we get by them, hell, someday we could play Michigan again. I think we'd both be happy if that happened because it would be deep in the Final Four. But we got a lot of work to do, Stephen A. We just can't turn the ball over. There's the answer I'll give you. We can't turn the ball over. That's been one of our Achilles heels.
Tom Izzo, love you, man. It's always good to see you. It's always good to talk to you, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And good luck as we continue to follow this tournament. All the best, my man. I'll see you soon.
Appreciate you, Stephen A.
All right, buddy. The one and only Tom Izzo, head coach, Michigan State Spartans, right here with Stephen A. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, 888-MAD-DOG-6. Is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Your calls are more in a minute. Close out hour number one. It's the Stephen A. Smith Show, Mad Dog Sports Radio.